Well, I've had enough of reading lies from neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians and folks like Philip Zelikow, the mythmaker of the 9/11 Commission Report. This is Kevin Barrett coming back at you on Troop Jihad Radio with John Gold, one of our leading 9/11 activists, a precious resource and a very sharp, level-headed guy, and I'm really happy to have on board in this movement. We do have a big stack of callers still on the line waiting patiently for us, so let's move on to Chip in Alabama. How are you, Chip?
All right. Have you all seen the movie Flight 93? I watched it for the first time last night.
No, I haven't seen it. I didn't want to watch it because, to me, it's nothing more than war propaganda.
You think? I was hoping to get Charles' expert opinion on it, but I guess I can't.
Well, yeah, no, I was going to pick at it, but I ended up getting chased out of the theater and nearly arrested with my son. Well, we were trying to point out, as John said, this movie is sick hate propaganda, you know, anti-Muslim hate propaganda, the same kind of stuff that Dr. Goebbels turned out against the Jews, rile up the German people into persecuting a local religious minority and going out and launching criminal wars of aggression. That's what's happened here. Flight 93 is a Goebbels-style propaganda flick designed to incite war crimes. The people who made it should be put on trial.
I'd like to bring up an interesting point about Flight 93. It was recently released in Vanity Fair that I think it was as late as 10:13, the fighter pilots that were in the air that morning did not have permission to shoot down any aircraft. And people have been saying, well, that's your proof that they didn't shoot down Flight 93. But my question is, at 9:25, when Dick Cheney was giving orders, according to Norman Mineta, what were those orders? You know, if there was no order to shoot down at 10:13, what orders was Dick Cheney giving at 9:25?
You know, John, that's a very good point. And that you know, brings us to that crucial testimony by Norman Mineta, a sworn testimony to the 9/11 Commission itself, in which he described an underling rushing up to Dick Cheney and saying, you know, this is around, you know, 9:25 as the plane's coming towards the Pentagon, whatever it was. And the underling says, it's 50 miles out. And he comes back, it's 30 miles out. And he comes back, it's 10 miles out. So the order still stands. And Cheney whips his neck around and says, of course the orders still stand. Have you heard anything different? And naturally, if the orders had been to protect the nation's capital from attack from the air, which is what you would think such, you know, these orders would be, this is 9:30, and the World Trade Center has been hit twice at 8:47 and 9:04. And now it's almost 9:30, and something's coming at D.C., and this guy has to keep coming back. And do the orders still stand? Do the orders still stand? There's something wrong with those orders.
Obviously, exactly. The young man had a problem with the orders that he received. Otherwise, he would not go in and out of the room and then finally ask for confirmation of these orders. If they were a shoot-down order, he would have sat there and waited for the plane to be shot down and then report back to Cheney. At least that's what I would think he would do. Instead of
right, so that's prima facie evidence for Dick Cheney having issued stand-down orders to not protect the nation's capital from an attack that he must have been complicit in. That's called high treason, folks. That's prima facie evidence of high treason.
When do you figure Cheney will go to prison?
Excuse me?
When do you figure Cheney will go to prison for this?
Well, it could be any time. Yeah, he's
a couple days, you mean, any time?
Yeah, go to 911blogger.com, and there's a good article by my close compadre here in Madison, Wisconsin, Mr. John Nichols, the editor of the Capital Times. He literally wrote the book on Cheney called Dick, the Man Who Was President, and this article that's up on Blogger right now by Nichols does discuss dragging Cheney before Congress to tell what he knows about 9/11 and other things. Man has a criminal history long as my arm. And we'll have to come back. And when we come back, we'll say goodbye to Chip, and we'll have Odom from Ontario. So stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
There's Nazis in the bathroom just below the stairs. Always something happening and nothing going on. There's always something cooking and nothing in the pot. They're starving back in China, so finish what you got.
Welcome back to Truth Jihad Radio. Kevin Barrett here talking with John Dole. Yep, I never expected days like these either. We've got some crazy stuff going on in the world right now, post 9/11, crazy fascist fantasy that we're living in is looking like it could get crazier as a whole bunch of U.S. military forces are amassing in the Persian Gulf. Threatening Iran with what could turn out to be the opening shot of World War III. Let's hope it doesn't happen, and let's hope that people in the U.S. military, some of the top generals who are not directly complicit in 9/11 high treason, will arrest Dick Cheney when he issues that order to nuke Iran. And if that happens, it'll be thanks to the folks like John Gold and others in the 9/11 Truth Movement who have made it that much harder for these criminals to continue launching their wars of aggression as people start waking up. And as the military people who swore an oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, start to do their job. John, we have a bunch more callers we want to talk to you, leading off with Totem from Ontario. Are you there, Totem?
Hi, Kevin.
Hey, hi. Yes, hey. Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you. I called up to sort of share with you guys the average reaction that I've got from people when I talk about 9/11. And what I wanted to sort of discuss with you guys is, do you think it's our educational system which has failed us? Because it's basic science that those buildings fell at free fall speed, and you would have expected resistance from the lower floors, because obviously the lower floors were at room temperature because there were people walking around and coming down the stairs. So you would think that they would have offered resistance and prevented, first of all, a total collapse. I mean, a total collapse is just not possible. I'm an engineer and I can tell you that. But on the other hand, when I speak to the average person on the street or people who are good friends of mine, in fact, some of them are even Muslims who have been harassed by when we crossed the border across to the, America. I'm, by the way, from Canada. And the feeling that I got was the average person just does not comprehend science. Has that been the reaction down in the South in America as well?
I'm very glad that you brought that up. I'm sorry, is your name Kevin?
No, my name is Totem.
Oh, I'm sorry. The different ways to approach people, well, I think that if you start from the ground up, and the ground up being, you know, just tell the story, the fact that the family members had to fight for the creation of the 9/11 Commission, the fact that they had thousands of unanswered questions, if you start out with the basics. And this is why I like to promote 9/11 Press for Truth as being the first documentary people see. Once people understand that we have been lied to, then other aspects of 9/11 then become easier to deal with. So that's why I think, you know, if you show 9/11 Press for Truth first, you can show them anything and people will be open-minded to it. They'll see it for what it is. People trying to answer the questions that the government has refused to do. So, you know, from my personal experience, I think that's the best route. But, you know, other people will disagree with me.
I have a different take on that, John, to some extent, because I actually agree with some of them that it's not even just the lack of scientific education, but it's a sort of a lack of just basic common sense and, you know, and a basic understanding of the way physics works in the real world. Because if you actually look at what you're seeing with the videotapes of these building collapses, you know, Building 7, of course, looks exactly like every other controlled demolition, and the Twin Towers are obviously blown to kingdom come. I mean, anybody who actually looks at those at that footage, what you see is these, you know, the buildings just exploding into powder, disappearing at free fall speed, and these pyroclastic clouds blasting outwards. And if you look a little closer, you see the squibs, you see the flashes. You watch 9/11 eyewitness, you hear the explosions. I mean, you don't have to be a physics PhD to see that these buildings were obviously being blown up. And I think, John, that, yes, you're right, the 9/11 Press for Truth may be the very best intro to the subject, to newbies, you know, especially the kind of people who are resisting this. At the same time, I would argue that the core of the 9/11 psychological operation was the extremely telegenic destruction of the Twin Towers and the mass murder of almost 3,000 people on camera, which shocked the American people into this kind of psychotic state of denial, which we're still in, which has created this new post 9/11 world. That is the core of the myth, the sacred core of the myth, just as the sacred core of the myth of Christianity, and I'm not saying it's not true, I'm just saying it's a myth, meaning a sacred story, is the crucifixion. And that, you know, the horror and the, you know, the awe and all that of the crucifixion and then, I guess, the resurrection followed. So that's what brings this emotional punch to Christianity. Likewise, with 9/11, it was this blatant demolition of the World Trade Center. And I would agree with them that anybody educated in critical thinking who can still see with their own eyes and think with their own brain should be able to see what happened to those buildings just by, you know, looking at a couple of videotapes. It shouldn't take longer than 5 minutes. And so, and then if you have a little basic science, that helps too. But I think there's a massive intelligence failure, a failure of our collective awareness to not see the demolitions of the World Trade Center for what they very obviously are.
And the second thing that I, you know, I think Kevin has really got what I said. And to me, I think, you know, I think 9/11 truth not only reflects about what the government did, but I think it also reflects the state in which our society is in, because if we don't have critical thinking people who can make out the fact that steel just doesn't vaporize and concrete just doesn't pulverize and disappear into fine dust just because gravitational force brought down one floor to the next. Because if we look at the official story, all that they say is that one floor pancaked to the next floor, and that's what caused the buildings to come down. Bringing one floor to the next floor is a distance of, what, 10 feet? 10 feet cannot pulverize steel and concrete. Yet we are seeing...
And I think you're right, Kevin. It's absolutely obvious. I think that's why this, you know, this NIST report that people... you know, point to, and it's just so preposterous that, you know, they're not even trying to explain what happened. They're trying to invent a fantasy of, you know, what could have happened to a couple of floors, certainly not the whole building, and they're doing it in about 10 billion pages. It's just ridiculous. You know, a 12-year-old can look at this thing and see what's going on.
Exactly. I mean, this is high school, not even high school, middle school physics, and people don't get it. That's one thing. The second part, which I thought I'd bring to the attention of you scholars who are really working hard on this, is the fact that the mainstream media seems to promote in front some mouthpieces amongst the victims and not the people who are standing up against this whole thing. Have you noticed that we always have people who have lost loved ones or who claim to have lost loved ones? Again, this is not verifiable because, you know, who knows the truth. These people come forward and endorse the government's position. On the other hand, the people who have stood up and fought the cases, who have not accepted the settlements and signed off their lives, are not being covered. What is, I mean, where does that stand and how do we get that in front? I think there was
John's the expert on that. Can you answer that, John? About the why aren't we seeing more stories about the family members in the media?
Well, that's a good question. Within the last 4 months, the family members released a statement. But these are the family members that fought for the creation of the commission. They released a statement that said the 9/11 commission was derelict in its duties, and they questioned the entire veracity of the 9/11 commission's report. And not one media outlet covered that. In fact, I think may have been the only one. And Raw Story, you know, luckily has been somewhat 9/11 truth friendly. Why don't they cover it? That's a good question. The reasons, I think, are obvious. You know, once people start seeing that the 9/11 family members are angry, want a new investigation, you know, then they're going to start backing these people up. And that's not what they want. You know, the 9/11 family members, Donna Marsh O'Connor, Christine Kamenik, and I think Michelle Little, at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., on this past anniversary, called for, and I believe I have the quote from Donna Marsh O'Connor, "This government has made me a victim of conspiracy theories because they haven't answered fully or allowed anyone to ask the true questions of September 11th, and that's what I'm asking from you today, for exposure. We are not crazy. We have questions. We demand answers. We're asking for a new investigation into the events of September the 11th, and this time a truly bipartisan, global, with families invested from the beginning, middle, and throughout the end." And while Donna Marsh O'Connor was saying this, Tom Keene and Lee Hamilton were right across the hall, filled with media who were more than willing to cover their press conference, but nobody wanted to cover the family members.
It's an absolute scandal, and someday we're going to look back at this period in our history and be just shaking our heads at this kind of behavior. We'll be right back. Yes, we do know, and now the question is, what are we going to do about it? This is Kevin Barrett on Truth Jihad Radio, talking with John Gold, one of our leading 9/11 activists. He works with family members. He has contributed to 9/11 Blogger. He has a great website, yourbbsucks.com, and he's here with us talking to a list of people who are phoning in, and we're going to try to get through that list if we can. I think our next caller is Jeff. You there, Jeff?
Hello?
Hello. Is this Jeff?
Yes. How are you guys doing tonight? Happy Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah.
You too.
Happy holidays to you too, Jeff.
Holidays? I'm kind of worried about what the, in 2007, the Building 7 report from NIST is coming out. Is that true?
John, what's the story with that NIST Building 7 report?
The Building 7 report has been delayed over and over again, and from what I understand, it is coming out in 2007. And if you remember, NIST came out with a little Q&A as to regards to controlled demolition, where they tried to debunk it. And I think Jim Hoffman wrote a rebuttal to that that was really good. I don't know when it is slated to come out.
They said March 2007. And I was,
well, they've said that before. They've given dates before, and they've always failed to make those dates.
Well, I think they've already got, they've got $16 million from the federal government to investigate 1, 2, and 7. And if you look at the NIST report on buildings 1 and 2, it's pretty amazing to me that the people with common sense, I come to find out it's not very common. And another thing is the report, if you read it and analyze it, it goes all the way up to collapse, but it doesn't analyze the collapse itself.
Exactly.
And for some odd reason, you would think that they would, for being a structural engineer and all that stuff, they would want to know how the building collapsed, why it collapsed, and for structural engineers in the future to prevent a collapse like that happening and going through the steel and looking at the steel and analyzing it and looking at the you know, I put up steel buildings for 12 years, and all the connections that are welded moments, there's bolt connections, there are torques, and you'd want to look at that stuff and how did it collapse? How did that fail? And it's just amazing. It doesn't even make sense why they wouldn't want to analyze that whole aspect of the collapse itself. It's amazing, you know.
I think the reason is that they can't explain it. There's never been a tall building in history that ever collapsed in a manner remotely like these three buildings on 9/11, except from controlled demolition. There's never been any collapse from fires. There's been a couple of floors will maybe collapse, but a complete global collapse of an entire tall building has never happened. In earthquakes, they've occasionally toppled, but you just don't see buildings coming down into their own footprint at roughly free fall speed, leaving a pretty small pile of rubble, except in controlled demolitions. And so, yeah, you would think that NIST and everybody else involved in buildings and construction and architecture would be tearing their hair out saying, what's going on? Something unprecedented happened here, and we're going to have to revise all our fire codes. We're going to have to revise all our engineering knowledge in light of these bizarre events. And yet, no, they give us this bizarre report that doesn't deal with the actual collapse, just the events leading up to it. And there's no way that the events they described leading up to it could precipitate a complete free-fall speed collapse into its own footprint, leaving a tiny pile of rubble. So, I mean, it's dead in the water.
I actually have a quote that pertains to this from Sally Riegenhardt, who was also a family member who lost her firefighter son. This was from a long time ago, and it's actually in 9/11 Press for Truth. The largest structural collapse in world history, the largest loss of life on American soil since the Civil War, and not one governmental or elected official wanted to know why and how this happened. That speaks volumes.
And nobody's ever been prosecuted in the government for any aspects of 9/11. Nobody's ever.
No, they just get promoted. The people who screwed up the worst, according to the most charitable interpretation, are all the ones who got the promotion.
But I guess what I want to say is that we should be pushing the Building 7 analysis of the collapse itself. And they can make up anything like they did on World Trade Center 1 and 2 to fill their needs, because they don't have to discuss the collapse. I'm not I have a family and everything. It's kind of hard for me to find time to do anything, but I love studying this stuff, and it's very fascinating, and it's a motivation for me and everybody else that I talk to, all my friends and family. They know it's BS. They know it's a cover up, but we should have those guys analyze the collapse of Building 7, not stop at what they did on World Trade Center 1 and 2.
Well, they're probably waiting until, you know, Cheney sets off another 9/11 style event in order to launch an attack on Iran, and then they won't have to worry about it. I don't know. But let's hope that doesn't happen.
Thank you.
Hang in there, folks. We'll be right back.
Today. Hey.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Well, we may not want to face it, but, you know, we're going to have to face it one of these days, folks. We're going to have to face the fact that our country has been taken over in kind of a coup d'etat. Even those who haven't figured out that 9/11 was an inside job, and excuse me, John, but I still think that pretty well sums it up. But even folks who haven't figured that out yet can see that what's happened post 9/11 is the creation of a whole new world, minus the U.S. Constitution, minus international law, minus restrictions on what used to be called war crimes, wars of aggression. Yeah, that was Hitler's biggest crime, was launching wars of aggression, and now the United States is doing it. We're living in this whole new world, and I think we do have to face it. So we have a bunch
sometime.
everybody's got to learn sometime. Another good 9/11 DVD. We've got a bunch of good ones. John, I guess, is involved with 9/11 Press for Truth, which, like Everybody's Got to Learn Sometime, is a terrific sort of introduction to the subject for educated people who are resisting it. We have a guy on the line, a couple folks, actually. John from Northern California is first, I believe. Hi, John. Are you still waiting for us? Hello, John. Well, I don't hear John. Calling John one last time.
I'm here. Did you come?
Hey. Well, I didn't hear you, but hey, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm fine.
So I'm one of the regular bloggers on 9/11 Blogger.
Great.
Yeah, left, right. I'm the crazy sign maker in Northern California.
Oh, that's you?
Yeah,
oh,
that's
you're doing
me.
A fantastic job.
Thanks.
You're doing a great, great job. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks a lot, John, and thank you for all your hard work. And, Kevin, I'd just like to say right off the top that every time I see you on TV or anything at all, I'm just very proud to be able to be part of a movement that includes fine people like you, and it makes me proud to be an American. Which has been very hard for me to say for over 20 years now, but especially the last 6 years.
Well, there's a quote from Mark Twain, a true patriot loves their country all of the time and their government when it deserves it.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. Hey, I think we should be pumping the conference in Phoenix for one thing. I haven't heard you guys mention that yet. I guess I saw online, John, that you were going to go.
Yes, I'm going.
Yeah,
I'm planning on going, hopefully.
I'm planning on going, too, so hopefully we can hook up and talk there. And
I'm open to all.
Good. Yeah, a bunch of us from the Northern California Alliance are going to be going out to Memphis for this media reform conference, and we had a meeting Thursday night talking about that.
Let's tell the people the dates for these things. I believe that the Phoenix conference, looking at my calendar here. Yeah, the Phoenix conference is in February.
Yeah,
I believe it's the date.
23rd through 25th, I believe.
That's right, February 23rd and 25th in Chandler, Arizona, I think. Next to Phoenix, is that right?
Yeah, Chandler.
Okay, and the Media Reform Conference is coming up soon. I think that's January 11th through the 13th and 14th in, is it Memphis? No,
yeah,
Nashville,
it's in
right?
Memphis.
In Memphis, okay.
Memphis, yeah.
11th through the 13th or 14th in Memphis.
Yeah, there's
okay.
maybe as many as six of us from Northern California going to that. So Carol Roulier, among others.
It's funny you mention media reform. Kevin was on O'Reilly this week and was asked, what question were you asked about the media, Kevin?
Well, geez, if 9/11 was really an inside job, wouldn't the Bush-hating New York Times print the story? And the trouble with that is it's actually a pretty good question, because frankly, before I figured out that there was a really big obvious problem with 9/11, that is, for 2 years after the attacks, I couldn't really have believed that our media would be this grossly derelict of duty either. So actually, I have to give O'Reilly credit for saying something not entirely idiotic that time.
Right, but the response that would have been great to see is if you would have thrown it back in his face and said, well, gee, I don't know, Bill, where is your coverage of the family members calling for a new investigation? Where is Fox News' coverage of this? Tell me why you're not covering it, and then maybe you'll answer your own question.
Yeah, I think
that would have been good.
I would put that in there, and then I would also say, how come the mainstream media will not show building number 7, a video of building number 7 falling down, collapsing, in quotes.
Well, they showed it a couple of times. I think Mike Berger made an arrangement for his appearance on Fox that if he were to be on there, they had to show building 7. They refused to show it for Stephen Jones when he was originally on Tucker's show. And there's a quaint little video that was remade of that whole interview. I forget what the movie's called. I think it was made by 911busters.com. If you go look, but there's a little recreated movie of that.
Yeah, I've seen that as well. So, Well, yeah, building number 7 is what woke me up a few years ago. I mean, I couldn't sleep, but I turned on the TV, and it was public access television, and one of the local guys here had put on the tape of the San Francisco conference, and I just happened to catch Building 7 fall from three angles, and boom, you know, like an earlier caller said, my middle school physics caught right in, and I looked at that, and I said, well, wait a minute, you know, that's not right. And then I started doing research. One of the first books I got was Crossing the Rubicon, and I immediately realized that 9/11 was not at all what it had been sold to be. So,
Mike was one of my first influences as well. I did a lot of my own research and then saw the truth and lies of 9/11. I was like, wow, everything he's saying is right.
Yeah.
So, well, mostly everything he's saying. I know a lot of people don't like his peak oil theories and such, but you know, there's arguments on both sides of the coin in that
regard.
Yeah,
there definitely is.
Yeah, I think he's done some good work, though. We should give him credit for that. We should always try to be charitable. You know, when they won't show Building 7, they won't cover this on the networks. I think we can still get around that, of course, partly through the internet. And then also, you know, last Monday I had Tom Tweeden, the guy, Dr. from Arkansas, who's running 911DVDProject.com,
right,
which is putting out vast, huge numbers of really cheap DVDs, because these DVDs are really what are waking people up. People see Building 7 coming down, and Larry Silverstein talking about we decided to pull it and we watched it come down. That pretty well, you know, shakes people loose from their preconceptions pretty reliably. So we're going to try and get tens, hundreds of thousands of these DVDs out there. And so if people want to help get involved with that, you can go to 911dvdproject.com.
Yeah, I think one of the great tools we have right now, because we're really battling over the middle third of the American people right now, is Press for Truth, because that's just such a sort of gentle way to ease people in, and the Jersey Girls are so appealing, and it's just such a good story. I mean, everybody I've shown that to, they've just immediately gone, wow, you know, what else can you tell me? And then I'll, you know, do Truth and Reality or something like that, and then I'll build up to something like 9/11 Mysteries, because that's pretty violent with, you know, a lot of people are still very traumatized. This is something we were talking about at the Thursday meeting with Janet McKinley, you know, there's a lot of people that, I mean, it was a psychological operation. A lot of people have been really heavily traumatized by 9/11, and as soon as they see any of that violent imagery, it just stresses them out, and they don't want to look at it. They don't want to deal with it. So you have to, you know, there's a different approach for everybody. And the other thing I do is a lot of people, I always have a copy of David Ray Griffin's The New Pearl Harbor, and I've given about 15 or 16 of those away. I just hand them to people, say, read this and pass it along. And every time I give one out, you know, people come back, wow. And, you know, the thing is once you wake up, you know, it's what do you do? It's like once I realized it, what happened, I got really, really pretty depressed for about a week, and then it was like, okay, you know, what do I do now? And I started looking around for things to do and educate myself more, and now I'm insanely active. I mean, every day I wake up, and it's like, okay, what can I do?
All right. I brought that up. There's a 9/11 blogger recently added a 9/11 activism section, and 911truth.org has a piece that was partially written by me back when I was on their steering committee called Now That You Know, What Can You Do? And lists all of these things that you could be doing to inform the public.
Yeah, well, that's great work you're doing at 9/11 blogger, guys. Both of you are really helping, and we have to keep at it. You know, we can't just go crazy for a while and then burn out, which has happened to some of the earliest, you know, first-generation activists, but including people like Mike Rupert, I think, who worked so hard at it and then kind of, you know, burned out on it. And so we have to pace ourselves. We're in this for the long haul.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, I know there's a lot of callers waiting, so I should probably move out of the way for the next one. I just big thank you, and I hope I see you guys down in Arizona in February.
I'll see you there.
All right. See you there, John. Take care.
Be well.
Okay, you too. Okay, we have another caller, Bill from Kentucky. Come on in, Bill.
Thanks so much, Kevin. This is Bill from Kentucky. I appreciate your show. I appreciate John Gold being on. I want to get into one specific area, although I'm willing, it's your show, so go with the flow. And it may sound like that I'm being combative or I'm being, I'm definitely not trying to distract from the truth. I totally believe 911 is an inside job, and no question about that. The thing that concerns me that just came up this week is John's blog entry at 911 Blogger about William Rodriguez and his invitation to Iran. Could you go into how that kind of played out and what the latest status is, John?
Well, actually, that's kind of funny you brought that up. I wasn't expecting a phone call. I was sitting here, and I got a call from somebody with a Spanish accent, and I had never spoken with Willie before. And he called me to talk about a few things, and then he brought that up. And personally, to me, I think Willie is heroic for being willing to talk to countries, leaders of different countries that our own, quote-unquote, leaders are not willing to talk to. And I know that people have said that, you know, they're going to label us as terrorists if he goes there and all this stuff. I don't know. I mean, it's up to Willie. I don't know what he's doing. All I know is that he was invited. In fact, I believe he was invited somewhere else, and he just told me, and I forget where it is, but it, I think it was someplace in the UK that he was invited to 2 days after the Iranian invitation. What do you think? Do you think he should go? Do you think he shouldn't go?
Well, I think your response, John, is disingenuous, in fact. I think
right,
the idea that Willie, if he's an authentic actor, which I think he is, the idea that he would call up a stranger and try to do PR that way is ridiculous.
Well, I'm not a stranger. I've met Willie before. We've corresponded before, so I don't know which.
And the fact that you haven't posted this on your own website is also strange to me.
Well, it was a 911blogger.com exclusive.
So you have some kind of arrangement that when you do an exclusive, you can't repost it?
No, I just thought that it was just, you know, 911blogger.com exclusive, and I left it at that.
I'm kind of confused. Well, what exactly are you, you know, I don't understand what you're trying to get at here, Bill. Maybe you could clarify your point.
Well, I spend a huge amount of time at the Screw Loose Change blog arguing against those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And right after John posted his blog about Willie, they picked it up. They picked up John's story, bashed Willie, and then somebody faking himself as Willie responded on the Screw Loose Change blog. So it's clearly, I'm not saying John's part of the op, but there's clearly op-type activity going on.
Well, I would argue that what's really going on here, Bill, is that, you know, there's been a massive brainwashing operation here. 9/11 was a very powerful psyop that was designed to make people hate Muslims in the same way that, you know, similar psyops in Nazi Germany were designed to make people hate Jews and to legitimize warfare as wars of aggression. And right now, the people behind this are targeting Iran, which is, in fact, arguably the only democracy in the Middle East. It's certainly the place with the most political potential to develop into a more open society and a democracy. And it's really, in many ways, one of the most hopeful countries on Earth, a country that has a tremendous potential to become more of what most Americans would really like to see various countries, including their own, become. So my argument here would be that, of course, they're going to, you know, at Screw Loose Change, which is one big psyop itself, you know, they're going to try to do everything to make us look bad by saying, oh, you know, the Muslims are evil, just as the Nazis used to say the Jews were evil, and therefore somebody like Willie, who's going to this evil enemy country, which in reality, folks, is the only democracy in the Middle East, maybe Israel counts too, I don't know. But you can't fall for these psyops, and you can't just roll over and let these Nazis define your reality. And so when Willie goes off,
let me ask this question: can I ask for a truth movement that has its act together? Can I ask for a truth movement where, when Willie Rodriguez wants to do PR, he doesn't go through John Gold as a one-time affair?
Hey, you know, I think that Willie posting through John Gold is pretty smart. I mean, I can't think of two guys I would rather see working together to get information out than Willie Rodriguez and John Gold.
then let's formalize it and let's do that all the time from now on. That's what I'd say to Willie. That's what I'd say to John.
You want a statement of some kind, a statement of truth regarding the 9/11 truth movement is what you're saying, I think.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
You're asking for a statement of truth.
No, I'm asking for a basic organization that does a better job of protecting against the kind of psyops that Kevin just went over.
Well, you know, we do our best to do that. Unfortunately, you know, they exist.
I mean, I really am not a detractor. I'm not trying to cause problems. But given how badly things have gone with Scholars for Truth, we need to learn some lessons here as an organization.
Well, I think we just have to be in our judgment of each other.
I mean, has Willie even said anything about this yet publicly himself?
I don't know. I haven't spoken.
What's there to say? I mean, Willie's gone to England. He's gone to Venezuela. He's going to Iran.
Here's what John says, that Willie is feels very honored that he has been tapped to do these series of presentations as a peace initiative.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's terrific. I mean, I say, you know, bravo for Willie, and we should publicize that.
The problem is, you remember when Jane Fonda went to North Vietnam and how that was used?
Well,
I wasn't
around. Okay, Bill. Well, yeah, I guess I don't remember that either, but thanks for the input.
Okay.
And, okay, we still have a couple of callers. We'll release one caller, and we'll be getting to him in just a few moments. So hang in there, folks. It's Kevin Barrett on Truth You Had Radio with John Gold. Okay, we want to give peace a chance, we want to give truth a chance, we want to give some callers a chance. We have a whole bunch of callers on the line, so callers, please try to keep your points brief, succinct, terse, and so on and so on and so on. Keenan from California. Come in, Keenan. How you doing? Keenan, you there?
Yes, hello.
Hey, hi. Can you give us a kind of a short version, because we have at least three other people behind you. What's up?
Okay. First of all, thanks a lot for all your work. I think you're one of the most articulate spokespersons in the 9/11 truth movement.
Thank you.
And I was going to ask you if you heard of the book 9/11, The Ultimate Truth.
No, I haven't. John, have you?
No, I haven't.
That's one that I highly recommend. It was put out by the same people that made the Pentagon Strike Flash presentation. Anyway,
well, if you want to send me a copy, you can reach me, Kevin, at mujka.com, M-U-J-C-A.com, or you can go to M-U-J-C-A.com and hit contact us and get to me. I would be happy to take a look at it, that's for sure.
Okay. And let's see, another question about Stephen Jones. I heard he left the Scholars for Truth. Is that true?
You know, that's a very complicated story, which I'll probably be getting into in a future broadcast. I'm personally trying to sort of help heal the rift and make, you know, bring us a positive outcome from what's going on right now with SB9/11. So stay tuned. We'll see how that develops.
Okay.
But no, Stephen's going to keep working on the issue. It's just a question of how the organization is going to restructure itself.
Okay. And another brief question. If we can get to the point where, you know, we can get another investigation, who should run it? Because it seems like our institutions have become so corrupt in this country that it's hard to see an official institution here doing it. You know, maybe we need an international truth commission.
Well, that's what Donna Marsh O'Connor touched on. She said a truly bipartisan global with families invested from the beginning, middle, and throughout the end. I would think it would be something similar to the Hague. I don't know.
If we have one domestically, it could be overseen by family members. We need the family members to have some power. They shouldn't be sitting in the spectator's gallery kicking and screaming and watching a cover-up. What happened last time?
And my worry would be that the courts here are corrupted, you know, that the judges would be stacked, you know, it would be difficult to have real justice in our legal system.
Some of them definitely are, but if you take a look at the judge who was on the environmental disaster, they reprimanded Christy Todd Whitman, basically said she was shameful for saying what she did on September 13th, or September 18th, I never remember the date, about the air being safe to breathe and the water being safe to drink. So there are judges out there who are honest. Whether or not we'll get one, that's another issue entirely.
Well, once we get the popular opinion, the public opinion, when it reaches a certain tipping point, everybody's going to have to jump on board with this, because otherwise they're going to be on the wrong side of a treason trial. So I think we need to keep working on public opinion, and as this thing gets into the courts, the judges won't have much choice. Well, we're just being chased off the air here a little too early. I wish we had another hour or two to talk, John. It's been great. People can find John at 911blogger.com. You can go to his website, which is yourbbsucks.com. And you can reach me, Kevin Barrett, at mujcha.com, M-U-J-C-A.com, Muslim Jewish Christian Alliance for 9/11 Truth. If you didn't get through to me tonight, you can always try there and hit contact us. And on Christmas Day, we're going to be having a rerun of my show with Donna Marsh O'Connor on the other Freedom Network, GCN.com. So that's going to be from 3 to 5 Central Time, 4 to 6 Eastern Time on Monday, December 25th, Christmas. Donna Marsh O'Connor on GCN. Normally I don't advertise rivals, but she's worth listening to. So hang in there, folks.